I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th, hosted by B Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
I'm Tracy B. Wilson.
Tracy, we talked about kitties this week.
We sure did.
That it was to be a little bit of a balm salve for some of our less delightful episodes that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, I had researched the one on swill milk right before this, and it was too much. I absolutely loved looking through various lists about famous historical cats. But what I really enjoyed was once I had narrowed my list and started doing research, I mean, this always happens, right? Anytime you look at, and I'm not dogging any writers who do these, like listicles that are like short, here are some famous things in a group. A lot of nuance always gets left out because that's just the nature of how those things work. So I'm always delighted when I uncover all of the various deeper research and information about any of them. For example, the fact that like Richard III scholars have talked about this whole story with Wyatt and whether or not it's kind of overblown to make Richard III look bad and like this weird cat portion of it being involved.
Oh, sure.
I love all of that. I love that portrait of Wyatt with his cat friend staring at him like, look, I brought you dinner. And he's just kind of spaced out looking elsewhere. I love all of it. But as I said, my very favorite, even though Unsinkable Sam is much loved in cat story circles, it's Mike the Cat.
Yeah.
Mike the Cat, I want to time travel to not hug you or try to hug you and get my face clawed off.
Yeah. I feel like my brother's childhood allergies have become like a running theme in recent episodes of the show.
We should just do an episode about that.
About my
the
brother's
history
childhood
of your brother's childhood allergies.
I wanted a cat from the time I learned the word cat. And my brother, who's a couple years younger than me, had various allergies. And I don't remember if we knew he was allergic to cats or if we suspected that a cat would be a problem. And so my parents were like, no cats, because we also lived on a very, very busy road that was not a safe place to have outdoor cats, which was a thing more people were okay with in 1977.
Yeah.
So we had these family friends who had this mean old tomcat that, you know, lived at their farm or their, I don't think it was an actual functioning farm, but like they had property that was even more in the country than we were. And I remember walking down the sidewalk, walking past the cat, and the cat, unprompted, just clawing the back of my leg. And not even that was enough to dim my love for cats.
Oh, yeah.
Which continued until we found a stray in the backyard who was terrified of the road. And then that continued to be my cat all the way until college.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I think I've mentioned on this show before, right? Like, I grew up on kind of a little farm situation. And we always had dogs and never cats.
Mm, yeah.
And I, too, was like, I want kitties. I mean, I wanted everything. But when we moved to Florida from Washington State and it was no longer a farm situation, I remember one day on the way home from Saturday morning ballet class, my dad drove me to a place where they had cats. And said I could pick out a kitten. And I picked out a little black kitten. And do you know that cat, which was that we had that one and another growing up, as well as a couple of Manxes. But she lived until I was in my 30s, my early 30s. So she lived a very long life, even though she was an outdoor cat. If you look at statistics, you know, outdoor cats usually live significantly shorter lives than indoor cats. Not always. There are clearly outliers. And I know that's a big debate and a hot button issue that people will argue and argue about. And I do not wish to wade into that. Listen to your veterinarian's advice is all I can tell you. My cats are indoor only. Aside from it being safer for the local bird population, I have too much anxiety about their safety to let them leave the house. They have plenty of enrichment and activity to stir up in here. So they all are very, you know, they get their needs met. But yeah, so Boo Boo, as her name was, lived a very, very long time and really started my lifelong love of cats. And of course, I've had many since then and continue to. And I see how people would want to immortalize cats with big characters like Mike. And Unsinkable Sam, that's a great story.
Yeah.
I wandered into a portion of the internet where people today are still actively arguing about whether or not his story is true. It just goes to show you how passionately people feel both about animals and about the lore that grows up around them. You know, there are people that love that story so much and they're like, let me just believe this story. And they will refute every argument and have reasons to explain the disparate photographic evidence. If you want to believe it, it hurts nothing is where I'm at.
I think there's an old episode in the archive about the Bismarck, and I have no knowledge of whether it talks about a cat at all.
I don't either. I didn't actually listen to that one because it is quite a ways back and it can be a little hard to access sometimes. But yeah, I like doing these fun ones. It's kind of like when we did our Hellhounds episode in October. I love them. They're super fun to look at different ways people have memorialized and talk about and folklorized, for lack of a better word, stories about animals. They lend themselves to kind of becoming urban legend and folklore because it's not like the cat ever gave its own account of how things went. Mm-hmm. So we can, people that tell the story can kind of imprint what they want on it without the actual key player ever contradicting it, which is very funny. I did read a tidbit that I didn't include in the Mike story that there was, you know, he wandered all over pretty openly. He wasn't afraid of being around people. He just didn't want to be petted and, you know, picked up and fussed over. And there was one of the areas of one of the gates at the British Museum that he knew that if he was over there, he had a way that he could get up high on the gatehouse and get away from people and just stare at them, which is pretty cute. But he would also apparently hang out in the reading room. And as long as nobody bugged him, he was perfectly fine there. He didn't seem to want to go after anyone. He just let me do my thing.
Just, yeah, don't touch me.
Be my thing. I'm going to hang out. I'm going to eat the fish that people are cooking for me. We started with a caterer cat and end up with a catered to cat, which is kind of not by design, but how it worked out.
Well, and having gone to extreme lengths to feed a cat who was, you know, approaching the end of her life. I'm there for the making of fish and chicken.
Oh, he was getting that all the time, though. That wasn't.
Yeah.
They made sure it was very soft at the end, but he was getting cooked for his whole life. I don't know if Mike ever ate a piece of kibble, for example. I think he ate mightily well. Of course, that was before the huge rise in the industrialized pet food concept. Mm-hmm. So there may not have been kibble available. It's just eating yummy things. I love that the waitresses in the little, you sometimes see it referenced as a cafe and sometimes as a refreshment room, were giving him scraps every day. I think it's very charming. You would think he would have liked them more. But apparently, don't touch me. Just put down the food and go. Which is kind of how I live my own life. So we hope you enjoyed this one this week. I had so much fun doing it, and it was exactly what I needed.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about Comfort Hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper, waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, it's start having sex and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This week on the show, we talked about eradicating smallpox.
Which, as I said, I was 100% convinced we had already covered.
Yeah. One of the things that we did not get into in the episode, in part because it's not an easy thing to actually calculate for real. But sometimes you will see numbers about like how cost effective the vaccine program was and like how many millions of dollars countries invested into it versus how many millions of more dollars they saved by not having to respond to smallpox outbreaks or treat people for smallpox or have all of the ongoing social and economic issues of people whose family members died of smallpox. And I wound up just leaving that out of the episode because I am tired of talking about people as though we are dollars.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I understand the need for that kind of analysis, but it does tend to kind of dehumanize the whole situation.
Yeah. Yeah, there are also entire books that look at, like, particularly the U.S. involvement through a more foreign policy lens and looking at Cold War politics and that kind of stuff. And that is just not the lens that I took to look at this particular thing, again, because I was mostly more interested in the idea of saving human lives and stopping a many thousands of year old deadly disease from freely circulating on the planet. That was where my focus was this time.
Yeah. I mean, I could see where that might be top of mind these times we're living in. It's, I feel myself often vacillating, kind of being like, oh, I'm hopeful things will get better, and then it'll just tanks it. So this hopefully will be a balm for people on the same. I think a lot of us are on that roller coaster.
Yeah, I have a weekly dinner with a friend of mine that for the period of the pandemic when vaccines didn't exist yet, and a lot of times, like, the risk was really high in our area. Like, that whole time, we had a virtual lunch. We would get on our Google Hangout or our Zoom or whatever, and we would have our virtual lunch. And then when we were both vaccinated, we transferred that into being in person but outdoors. And the last time that we had dinner, we had this conversation about how frustrating it had been here in Massachusetts to have had basically a 3-week span where everything in Massachusetts, like the entire Commonwealth of Massachusetts, was marked as low risk in terms of COVID transmission. And at that point, like, the numbers were escalating everywhere and have continued to escalate since then. And we talked about feeling simultaneously frustrated with that trajectory and having felt like we saw an improvement on the horizon and then the fortunes reversed, while simultaneously knowing that, like, there are a whole lot of the world has barely any access to vaccines at all at this point. And, you know, as things were improving overall in the United States, there was just a humanitarian catastrophe happening in India with its COVID levels, and this all interlocks together with both smallpox and rinderpest. One of the things that we've talked about is, like, when you have a global disease, it cannot be addressed through just a piecemeal, everybody taking their own path kind of a situation. Like, a global pandemic requires a global effort, and I don't know if we're ever going to have one.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, that's the hopeless moment, is it does not feel like it. I don't know how to cure it. Greater minds than I will hopefully figure it out, and I will do my best to help.
One of the things that also struck me while I was working on this, and I might have said something similar when we did that sort of how we're doing at the very beginning of the pandemic episode, working on this really made me think about how my parents were born before smallpox was eradicated in the United States. My parents are old enough to remember when polio was circulating within the United States, which polio no longer really a problem in the United States, but still a big problem in other parts of the world. And how, in a lot of ways, I feel really fortunate that it has taken me this long into my life to be in a situation where there is a disease that is spread through the air that is potentially lethal in this way, as with the COVID-19 pandemic, which just was not part of my experience before this part. Like, I'm old enough to remember the start of the AIDS crisis, which was also terrifying, but HIV is also not airborne, which is makes right. it a different level of risk and fear involved. Although I'm old enough to remember when we didn't really know how HIV was spreading.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So that was a scarier time for that particular disease. It continues to be scary because access to drugs to treat HIV continues to be a huge problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've talked about it on the show. I have done AIDS Walk with the same team every single year, and it's like you still hear about how there is a perception that that is done and we've handled it, and it's like no. There are still people that need help. There are still people, you know, there are still new cases on occasion. There are still people that need outreach and support and community help, and so I also wonder if our current situation will similarly be a thing that goes on and on forever. And some people will, we already know some people act as though we are through it when we are clearly not.
Yeah.
On the one hand, I wish I could like be an alien observing all of this from a remove, because it is a fascinating,
right,
you know, all of the mechanisms in place and how reactions have varied and what's led to those is fascinating to look at. But unfortunately, it is more immediately concerning because we are not aliens that live far away and can look at this like a weird petri dish. It is our planet where we live with other people.
Yeah, I similarly think about how if there are still podcasts in 100 years, what 100 years from now podcasters are going to say about things that are happening right now.
Oh, all the time I think about that. Like, how is this going to be reported and perceived, and what will they get wrong? Just as, I mean, we, you know, we in the bigger sense, you and I certainly at times, and in the much wider sense, the general understanding of the past on the part of humanity gets stuff wrong. Like how is this going to be perceived? How will the history books get written about it?
Yeah. Still a weird time to be living through.
A human.
And I mean, it's been a while since we've touched on this, I feel like, because for a while it's, as we said, it seemed like things were improving somewhat, but like you and I both have a lot of things sheltering us from a lot of the worst aspects of the pandemic, and it's still scary and frustrating. So our thoughts are with all the folks who are, in situations that are worse than ours. And including parents who are wrestling with sending kids to school right now. As of this moment, I mean, by the time this episode comes out, a lot of schools are going to have been back in session for a period of weeks, but we'll see how that goes.
We're kind of, as we record, we are right at that point where some schools have gone back, others are about to go back.
Some schools have gone back and 4 days later gone back to remote learning because there were too many.
Yep.
Case. So anyway,
yeah.
Man, I was trying to lead this to a happier moment to close on this particular episode for this thing that I chose to feel a little more optimistic for the show.
And then we broke it.
We did. So anyway, I hope everybody's weekend is as restful and fun as possible, whatever it is that's on your plate. We will be back tomorrow with a classic episode and Monday with something brand new. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, we want to tell you about another really special podcast we love, Dinners on Me with Jesse Tyler Ferguson. Dinners on Me is a show where your favorite celebrities get dinner and get real. Jesse and his famous friends invite you to the table to share untold stories, Hollywood anecdotes, and personal secrets shared only with a full belly of food, wine, and dessert. Jesse is joined by Modern Family co-stars Sofia Vergara and Ed O'Neill, as well as Kathy Griffin, Simu Liu, Mandy Moore, Dax Shepard, and many more. Take a seat at the table and subscribe to Dinners on Me wherever you listen to podcasts.